Hi, you're tuned in to another episode of Study Grono. I'm Dr. Fred, and thanks so much for joining me. Today's little brief episode is called Home. Now, as a Christian, whenever another Christian family member or friend goes home to be with the Lord, it's always bittersweet. While we rejoice in the fact that they are now with the Lord in His presence, and they're no longer having to deal with the sin nature that the Lord Himself removed from them after this life, it's still sad for us, isn't it? Because we continue in this world without them. Now, probably like you, I've lost many loved ones. I've lost my father, my only sibling, my sister, and my mother, in that order. There was a question as to whether or not my father was saved, but my mom spent a great deal of time with him as he lay dying in the hospital from stomach cancer. I was not personally present when he actually passed, but I had spent much time with him, at least as much as I could. Now, the day before he died, he was in a bit of a coma, though he could and would come in and out of it. My mother kept talking to him because generally, you know, we've been told that the last thing to go prior to death is a person's hearing. So my mother again explained the plan of salvation as simply as she could. It seemed like the Lord responded through my father. I mean, she encouraged him to receive what the Lord had provided. She indicated that he at times seemed coherent and even responded to her somewhat, indicating that he understood what she was telling him. Her belief at the time, and mine as well, is that he indeed did receive salvation from our Lord prior to his death. You know, like the thief on the cross who was facing his own death in a matter of hours and days, he received what was offered to him by Jesus himself. Now, I know pastors who don't put much stock in deathbed conversions, but in reality, that's not ours to debate. It's between the penitent and the Lord himself, and only he knows the truth of the situation. We don't. As long as people have breath, they can be saved. Now, but aside from these last-moment conversions, there are a number of situations that are close to me because of relatives or friends that speak of just how some saints move from this life to eternity. It's always interesting to hear these things. And while I realize that atheists and agnostics, they like to downplay the whole thing because they believe the brain can send out tons of synapses, firings, and cause people to hallucinate, etc. But what that can certainly happen, and I don't want to minimize that, but when you hear of or even witness a Christian speaking clearly, lucidly, about what they say they are seeing or hearing at that moment, there's a good reason to take them seriously because we know what the Bible says about our moving from this life to the next and what eternity will be like for the believer, as well as for the unsaved person. Now, I recall in 1997, my sister's father-in-law was literally on his deathbed, suffering from cancer. He was in his last stages. He was a Christian, as were all the members of his immediate household. My sister had spent a good deal of time serving her father-in-law, as did his children and wife, trying to make him comfortable in his last hours. Now, while they were gathered around him in his bedroom on that particular day, and while people were talking, praying, and simply being with him, he suddenly looked up and announced, "They're here for me. I have to go now." And I recall my sister telling me this, and it still gives me goosebumps. So as he announced that, everyone, of course, became very quiet and just watched and waited. The implication of what he said was that the angels were present and he could see them. They had come to take him home, to escort him over the threshold of death to eternity. Now, we read about something similar to this in Luke 16, verses 19 and following. And specifically in verse 22a, the first part of 22, this is what Jesus said. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side or Abraham's bosom. Now, in the above story, Lazarus, and by the way, this story I don't believe is a parable, but likely a true story related by Jesus. We note that angels carried or escorted the dead man Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. And of course, that's a figurative way of describing the afterlife for the saved people, for the righteous. Why do angels escort the saved dead? Well, it is most likely because this is Satan's last opportunity to try to attack the Christian to keep him or her from gaining access to God's presence. So my sister's father-in-law had announced that they were there in the room with everyone, and it seems clear that he saw them while no one else could. This is also not unusual, as we see this happening in many sections of Scripture where angelic messengers were seen by some, but not others who were with them. My sister's father-in-law also heard them speak to him, but again, no one else in the room did. Shortly thereafter, he died, escorted to the heavenly realms. It's what will happen to all believers, whether we experience something like what my sister's father-in-law experienced or not. We will all individually or collectively, when the rapture occurs, be escorted to our mansion in the heavenly realms one day. Now, in another recent case, a good friend of ours, a Christian, experienced a similar situation with her mother. And I've got this on my blog page, studygrownoblog.com, where you could actually see what she wrote. But I'll read it for you. She says, "I lost my mother, Bonnie, yesterday morning. It was somewhat unexpected. Her nursing aide told my sister that my mom said they called my name. Well, her aide told her nobody had called her name. And she replied, yes, they called my name very loudly, and I'm going home. She put her hand over her chest and passed away peacefully. Now, I believe she heard her Lord." This is what she says. She believes she heard the Lord call her home. And then she talks about the fact that she is reunited with her father and she has no struggles, no pain, no infirmity, and she's finally at peace. Now, as you can see from this story that she tells on a social network, she believes that her mom had heard her name called. The thing that comes to mind is that one day we will all individually be called up to heaven. We may or may not hear a voice as this dear friend's mother did, but when it is our time to go over that threshold of death, which leads for the Christian to life everlasting, we will ultimately see those who escort us into our Lord's presence. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting to me. We will be protected from the last final attempted assault of the enemy as we are ushered in to our Lord's physical, glorious presence. You know, there's so much about this life that is frail, superficial, and honestly, a waste of time. Too often, we Christians get caught up in the superficiality of life here. We lose sight of the goals that God sets before us. We fail to continually live each day or moment for God, seeking to do His will and His will only. It's too easy to become wrapped up in politics, social endeavors, and all the things that really don't bring Him glory. Now, to clarify, though, this is not to say that Christians should not vote. We have a responsibility to be good citizens of the country in which we live. But if politics or anything else looms too large in our life, pushing God out, we're doing it wrong. The Apostle James, referring back to the Psalms, emphasized a truth that we need to allow to penetrate our hearts. So basically, James says this: "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." James 4:14 ESV. Really, what is our life? Even if we live to be 100, our life is still a vapor compared to the unending length of eternity. We're here for a little while, then our life is gone from this physical plane. It's really over before we realize it. You know, last week, two rock musicians died, Eddie Money and Rick Ocasek. Eddie Money was his own band, who at one point in life had been a cop in New York City before turning to music. You might remember Ticket to Paradise or several other hits he had. Rick Ocasek was the lead singer of the Cars. Eddie Money was 70, died from cancer. Ocasek was 75 and died from heart disease. You know, to me, it seems like just yesterday that I first heard these songs from these guys that became hits, and they're still being played today. But they're gone, and all that remains are their songs. Are they in heaven or hell? That's really the only question that matters for them, not how many hits they had on the charts or how much money they earned in their lifetime. Life is extremely short. My wife and I were talking yesterday, and I mentioned that, you know, it's funny, but as kids, we're always looking ahead to that marker in life, whether it's to turn 16, to get a license to drive, to turn 18, to become an adult, to marry, to have children, to work some job that will provide for family or something else. It's always something. I'm now 62 and my wife and I are going on 34 years of marriage. Where did the time go? Now we wind up looking back in the rearview mirror just to reminisce, just to think about what things were like. It's interesting to look back and realize how quickly time has passed. And in fact, I mentioned that even if I live another 20 or 30 years, it's likely going to go very fast before I know it. I'll be 82 or 92 with the death that much closer. You know, I really want to spend the rest of my life doing what the Lord wants me to do. I'd love to hear at the end of it before I pass, my name being called and the veil that separates this life from the next pulled back. But whatever happens, I know that once I pass from this life to the eternal realm, that's when I will really start living, because the sin nature will be surgically removed by physician Jesus himself, and I will never sin again. In fact, everything I do, everything I say, everything I think from that point will glorify the Lord, and that is not the case today. I look forward to that day. I'm not pining for it, because God has blessed my life tremendously with a wonderful wife, a home on several acres in the country, two wonderful children who have chosen their mates well, and so far, one grandson. And beyond this, we attend a church where the people truly love the Lord and they understand the meaning of sacrifice. You know, it's too easy to get lost in all the stuff of life, isn't it? It's difficult to continually think of God, his love for us, and how he continually meets our needs. These things are often not the center of our thinking, but they should be. Life provides many opportunities to be sidetracked, and the enemy enjoys putting those distractions in our path. You know, but our job is to do what? To focus on God, his word, and what he wants to accomplish in this life, in and through us. And the only way I know how to do that is by reading his word daily, by meditating and memorizing his word, and to immerse myself with an attitude of prayer throughout the day. You know, while we can and should be thinking about things that affect our lives here, God should be at the forefront of our thinking. We should take all of our concerns and cares and talk to him about them, because he cares for us. Recently, a missionary shared her testimony at church this past Sunday, in fact, and noted that the Christian's number one job is to worship God. You know, I couldn't agree more. When we have the proper attitude of worship where God is concerned, all things fall into place. We should praise him, we should adore him, we should love him, and we should absolutely seek to fulfill his will for our lives. That's our number one priority. One day, he will call us home. Are you looking forward to it? Thanks for joining me. This has been Dr. Fred with Study Grow Know. And until we meet again, may the Lord open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.